Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
You got something good you'd like to share? A positive story? We'd love to hear it. 314-436-7900. Or maybe you're somewhere other than the St. Louis region. You prefer the 800 number. You can do that too, but... it's a little bit different now. It's any phone. It's not really long distance charges like there used to be. But still, 800-925-1120. I guess depending on where you're calling from, that your experience could vary. But I saw online, and Brett Bloom did a great write-up on this. So a new 360 virtual views released of One Cardinal Way Apartments. If you haven't seen these things, it's actually pretty cool. They're getting closer to... next year, 2020, when these will be completed, and you see the progress going up. Anytime you go to a Cardinals game, you see they've added another story, or they've got the cranes out there. They're always working downtown. This is a really big development. They've invested a lot of money in this, and it's going to be a good thing, but man, is it expensive to live out there. The 29-story luxury residential tower, part of the second phase of Ballpark Village, $260 million expansion. Here's Brett Bloom. You can find the story at KMOX.com.
Developers have launched a website called OneCardinalWay.com that will offer 360-degree tours of each of the nearly 300 units being built. Cardinals President Bill DeWitt III says the 29-story residential tower will be an attractive anchor for downtown development.
It just really... makes you optimistic about St. Louis because things are happening. We're creating a neighborhood down here. Obviously, we're excited about the Cardinal season upcoming, but you know, I think what this does, this development, it just makes you excited about long-term future of this franchise and of the city. And I just think it's a good time for people to rethink downtown St. Louis for what it can be.
You know, one of the things with Ballpark Village, people are, they are drawn to these areas. Some people really like that sort of feel. They want to be right next to the ballpark. They want to be able to walk to it. They want to just, they love that downtown life. They just would pay the premium to do that. I don't know. You have to be making a ton of money to be living in this place, really. Because I looked at some of these apartments, and let me just give you a couple of examples because I went to them. Here, let me continue.
Nick Benjamin. Developer Cordish Company says the development is slated for completion in late spring 2020.
You can go to onecardinalway.com, go to 360 tours, pick a specific apartment, see what the finishes are like in the living room and kitchen, actually scroll around in a 360 panoramic rendering, see every view from every window in the living room. But there really isn't an apartment in the building that doesn't have a great view of something. Because of the way the building's situated, if you don't have a stadium view, you've got an arch view and a river view or a great view of the Central Business District. And we're really excited to have prospective renters able to now take a look at all the apartments.
Yeah, and I did it for myself. I wanted to go see what it looked like. The way they render these things in 360 is really impressive. But when you have these high-end type of rentals that are out there, of course it has to be impressive to get people's attention. Now, I know that... they're, what are they, at 20%, 25% occupancy right now of their 297 units. They're going to be making a ton of money on this thing, but this is good for the city. So if you have people that are willing to pay this sort of money, you're attracting a high-income type of person and to live downtown. Now, that is very appealing. So let me give you a couple of examples. So I looked at an apartment called The Robinson. It was on the 15th floor. It had a view of the field. So if you wanted to overlook the ballpark, maybe you like to listen to Cardinals baseball on the radio and you wanted to sit out on your little deck and just kind of watch the game and kind of feel and hear the sounds of the crowd roar. It's kind of cool atmosphere, I'm sure. For a two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,236-square-foot rental, it goes for $2,955 a month. That's with a 12-month commitment. Nice layout. I mean, you got a couple of bedrooms, couple of bathrooms. There's a master bath and one shared bath. A couple of closets. A nice kitchen. And everything looks very well done. High-end appliances and high-end cabinets and countertops, things like that. If you want to look at the arch, to me, it's more appealing to get a view of the arch. I'd rather, if I were to live there, and if I, let's say that was something that I really wanted to do, I definitely would be angling to try to get a nice view of the arch side. It's kind of cool to see the ballpark and things like that, but man, a view of the arch would be neat. So I looked at one on the 20th floor called The Pennant. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath, 1,210-square-foot apartment. So it's about 20 square feet less. This one goes for $2,795 a month. $2,795. I think to myself, what could you get if you were to just apply for a loan and get that house-wise? If you can afford $2,700 a month in some of the areas around here, even if it was in Illinois, but here in St. Louis, let's say you get out a little bit further, man, you could afford some really nice homes in the area. To me, you have to really be dedicated to living in that atmosphere. Some people just love it. I'd rather be a homeowner myself, but some people just go crazy for it. The penthouse suites have 2,600 square feet. Those rent for $7,900 a month, $7,900. Don't get me wrong. This is a great thing for downtown. If you are willing to pay that much for a premium that way, you're a high-income earner, man, it's better for the city of St. Louis to have those people downtown paying taxes there and contributing to that community than it is for them to live outside and come in. So, listen, these things are good news, right? These are good news that they are at 25%. They don't even open up for another, 12, 15, 16 months from now. And they're already at 25% full. Let's hope these things fill up. That would be great. Yeah, it's just not for everyone, like me. Do you have any good stories you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Give you an update to your weather here soon. And yes, there is an update. It looks like Frankie was correct in his weather assumption of what's going to be happening here to the St. Louis, Missouri region. Yeah, Frankie, man, he does not mess around. Frankie McDonald, he'll tell you exactly what's going to be happening here.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old team station, live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major winter storm is headed towards Missouri on Friday, January 11th, 2019. 100%,
Frankie. You got that right. He posted that on social media just about, 45 minutes ago. So, Frankie on top of it. This guy's like a major internet personality. Maybe not a major, but he is an internet personality. Thanks for the weather update, Frankie. Very good. Major winter storm heading for Missouri. He loves the weather. There's a lot of great weather enthusiasts out there. There's a story that came out. New York is going to guarantee comprehensive health care for all, an historic surprise announcement that came out. Normally, something like this revolves around election time. Yeah, let's put this out there. Put some goodwill to the mayor. Well, after he regained his office, still dropping something like this on the people in New York. Here, take a listen. This is from NBC in New York City.
Well, it was certainly a bold initiative, but with few details revealed here today. Now, here is the big picture. It would strengthen the city's public health insurance option, Metro Plus, providing universal access to both medical and mental health care for those who currently have no more traditional form of insurance.
I get Medicare, the red and blue card.
Metro Plus. You do. And how does it work for you?
Good. Good, good, good.
But 600,000 New Yorkers have no health insurance at all and little means to pay. Speaking at Lincoln Hospital, Mayor de Blasio promising to change that with NYC Care.
From this moment on in New York City, everyone is guaranteed the right to health care. Everyone.
Now, that's an interesting thought. I don't think health care is a right. So New York City mayor guarantees comprehensive health care for all in this historic surprise. Now, think about what that means. You know how many people live in New York? Millions and millions. It's the largest city in our country, one of the largest cities in the world, but our largest definitely in the country. New Yorkers will be able to gain access to this program. They have it up on their website. They can call 311. They said there'll be no tax hikes. So where's this money going to come from? That's a good question, right? That seems to be the, I don't know, billion-dollar question or whatever it may be.
And the mayor says that includes undocumented residents. Participants will be given access to a primary care doctor and to specialty care. A physician who runs an urgent care center in East Flatbush says primary care doctors are already scarce in many areas.
For the primary care doctors, if now we have a large influx of people who did not have insurance, will now have insurance and will be assigned primary care doctors, will we have enough primary care doctors to support that?
New Yorkers will be able to sign up on the NYC website or 311. The plan won't be free to everyone, but operate on a sliding scale based on income.
Oh, so that's what they're doing. All right, so not everyone's going to be able to do it, but hey, good news. Good news. Sliding scale, whatever that may mean. So if you still have insurance, you're still going to have to offer insurance. You know how that's going to screw up all these different companies in New York? Think how many people work in that city. And then you throw in this incentive. If you keep them under a certain threshold, the city will pay for their insurance. So, you know, it'd probably be easier for just to pay the people less in order for the New York to pick up the tab for them to go to the hospital. You know, they're definitely going to be playing that game. Now, with the regulations leaving for the individual mandate and some of the other mandates they're looking at for insurance coverage gone, of course they're going to be playing that system. You know, if you're living in the city of New York, you're thinking to yourself, well, how much money is this going to cost the city and what else could that money go towards? Well, we'll find out.
And according to the mayor, will cost the city $100 million a year when fully implemented.
$100 million a year. Now, that is a ton of cash. And I even think that's going to be on the low end when they try to gain the system and take advantage of the system because they can. It's expensive enough to live in New York City. If you can afford it, you can afford to live there. You're going to be tying up a lot of your money just in the cost of living by itself. So they can duck the system in order to get free health care on top of that. I'm sure a lot of these companies, or maybe they're working for themselves and not documenting what they're making or whatever it may be. This may be the place to go for that sort of thing.
How are we going to pay for it is obviously going to be a question.
Now, the mayor says some of that money is already currently being spent unwisely, perhaps, on emergency rooms and hospitals that are being substituted for the services of doctors by people without insurance. And the plan rolls out this summer first in the Bronx, but the mayor did indicate people can start making inquiries on 311 and the city website.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to go. So what an experiment that's going to be in New York City. When that backfires and they have to take back, man, this guy could lose his office when they find out that this is going to be a complete mess. Now, what a weird surprise thing to put out there. I guess there's a lot of questions on how you'll be able to implement something like that coming up too. You know, let me tell you what happened in San Francisco, and this is how screwed up when the government gets involved when it comes to regulating prices in healthcare. So a 24-year-old, her name is Nina, broke her arm in an accident in San Francisco after someone who saw the accident called the hospital. An ambulance picked her up, took her to the Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. Doctors performed several tests, put her arm in a splint, and provided her with pain medication. How much money do you think that costs to do all of these things? Now, let me note, she has good insurance, okay? Good insurance. 24 years old, has insurance, breaks her arm while riding a bicycle. Okay, so they did tests, put her arm in a splint, not a cast. So it goes to show you a splint or whatever it may be, not as serious, doesn't require surgery or anything like that. And then gave her some pain medication. Her bill was $24,000. $24,000. And she thought, no, that's okay. I have good insurance. It'll be all taken care of. She found out her insurance will only pay for $3,800. Now she owes more than $20,000 to this hospital in San Francisco, and she's insured. So how in the world does that happen? You want to know how it happens in San Francisco? San Francisco emergency room prices are set by the city. And the twist is every single insurer is out of network based on the laws that the city council in San Francisco set. So it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. All insurance is out of network, which means when the hospital charges you $24,000 for a splint, your insurance ain't paying for it. What a racket that is. That should be illegal. It shouldn't be right, because essentially it means these hospitals know they're allowed to charge whatever they want because they don't have to negotiate with an insurance company, and they're just going to stick it to the person who's coming in to try to get some sort of service done. San Francisco ordinance is not nearly as thorough as a list of medical accidents. And I found this story on Reason.com if you want to go see that one. This insured woman hit with a $20,000 surprise bill. The deeper problem isn't that the rates are too high. It's that the government is setting prices to begin with, is what the conclusion of this article says. Attempts to mandate prices for medical care almost always lead to headaches and unintended consequences. So in San Francisco, great news. Don't get hurt. Don't get sick. Then you look on the New York side. So if they're going to try to mandate prices, or they're going to try to, what do you think is going to happen when they start to unroll this service where they're starting to pay for insurance for anyone and everyone that on a sliding scale? That means there's regulation if there's a sliding scale. How does that be? How's that determined? How does that work out? Well, if you're in New York City, I would be pretty concerned if I were you. Mostly because if you got insurance now, just wait until you see what happens when they have to try to adjust for all of these people that are going to be dropping off and out of the pool in the area. Let's see. The problem with government's at prices is that they're not really prices. They're based on bureaucratic whims, not the subtle back and forth between supply and demand. Totally understand that sort of thing. Totally understand. Let me get to Jason real quick, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Jason, what's going on?
Yes, sir. I was calling about this company that sells back braces and knee braces through Medicare.
So it's like a medical equipment provider?
All I know is the back brace, they won $1,000 for it. And they bill Medicare for it. And the knee brace is $670.
Just for the knee brace?
Yes.
It's expensive. That's way too expensive.
Then people complain about the government buying $600 toilet seats. There's a good example right there.
Because they're willing to pay out that much money for one of these pieces of equipment. Yeah. That's a ton of cash. So were you in need of one of these, and you happened to see it on the bill, how much the government paid out?
Well, I sent away for one, and when I got the bill that they billed Medicare for $1,000, I just shoved it back in a box and sent it back. Because I had a similar back brace that I paid $75 for.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how that works?
Yes, sir.
You know, you can even rent certain equipment. When my wife broke her ankle, she had to get one of those little knee scooters. And instead of going out and purchasing one of these things because of how expensive they were, you can go rent them cheap and give them back. There's always alternatives. And it's amazing what the government's willing to pay out.
Well, it's not the government as much as it is the lobbyists.
All right, Jason, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let me get to Marjorie, who's calling in from Illinois. Marjorie, what's going on?
Well, hi. It's good to talk to you. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I was listening to this about New York City and this health care that they're planning.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to need a wall.
What do you mean?
People are going to go up there. Oh, they're going to be inundated with people wanting to go up there and live.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is going to happen to rent there if you're in these areas like the Bronx where you can, as long as you have the lowest income you can possibly have, you'll get free health care? You think people are just going to flood to that area? I wonder how they're going to be able to tell if people live in that area or not. Could you just say, you know, I'm undocumented, so I don't have any ID. Service me. I don't have any money. Are they going to turn you away, or how's that going to work?
Oh, I think they won't be able to turn them away.
How could they tell? I'm sure there'll be a ton of fraud. There's going to be so much fraud in that.
It's incredible. It's incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
There's no free lunch. People have to realize that.
Oh, I know. But
when they start trying to offer free lunches. And the other thing is, I cannot get over how our Senate is allowing this Chuck Schumer to be the spokesperson when the majority is the Republicans. And what's he doing talking for him? It's as if he were the big boss. He's not.
Well, I guess when you look on the Democratic side, if they're trying to find a way to address from their side of the negotiation table, it's not that I think the White House and their administration is putting them up for like an equal pedestal. It's basically the media wants to hear from the other side, so they turn to them because they're recognizable.
Well, that could be, but I think that he's on NBC. The guy took over Meet the Press.
Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd. If he has Schumer and Pelosi on his program, he needs to ask both of them if they do not have walls around their house.
You know their security, all of them, all the time.
Don't you know? You know it?
Yeah.
Don't you know it?
All right, Marjorie.
Pelosi.
Well, have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, her husband is very wealthy.
Yeah, Marjorie, I don't blame them for having security. I don't blame them for having walls or borders or anything around their house. You know, it just goes to show you that it's something that is necessary at times, and I think this is necessary.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Well, this is true. I think what's going on is pure politics, and it's a shame because Trump is not a politician. He's a businessman. You know, if you're negotiating with somebody and they're going to tell you right away they're not going to do it, why not leave? I don't blame him. He's wasting his time.
All right, Marjorie, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
We have Matt Rindy from AccuWeather who's going to join us in the next segment. We're going to ask him about this forecast. It looks like they're bumping up the amount of snow we're going to receive. We'll get to that coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and wow, getting an updated forecast with AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy. Matt, are you there? I thought I saw you pop up on there. Let's see. Is it 3L or, Matt Rindy, are you there? Maybe not yet. It looks, he can hear me? Hold on a second. Why is that not coming through? I don't hear him. Matt, are you there? I don't know why he's not coming through. Are you sure it's 3L? Yeah, let's double check that. Let me see what the... Hold on. Let me try. Is it Bridge? Is it Bridge 3L? Maybe it's Bridge 3L. Is that right?
No.
It's not Bridge 3L. Which one is it? Producer Ben will get that on there. I just had it on the other one. Let's see. He's moving the thing right now. Yeah, we're getting an updated forecast from AccuWeather. Hold on. The weird thing with these boards is we got these little dials. You have to scroll through a million options before you get to the one you're supposed to. Matt Rindy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
You know, thanks for hooking up with us here on Overnight America.
Oh, you bet.
So they're pushing the forecast up a little bit. Looks like we're now going to get perhaps 6 to 10 inches is what they're calling for.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the story we're looking at. Yeah.
What
nice
caused that?
Mess. Well, the storm itself has always been pretty robust looking, and we're always a little cautious when we first start off with things. I know we were even looking at it a few days ago, Monday night into Tuesday morning, we were looking at it and we're thinking, boy, they have a good chance at a significant snow. Everybody has, throughout the Midwest and up into the system moving eastward, we all have a very good chance for seeing a decent amount of snowfall. So we're always a little cautious to bring those totals up in a big storm situation, unfortunately.
But now that we're getting the higher snowfall, is there a time change, or is it going to still hit around the same time?
No, we're still looking at a good time starting late tomorrow. I should say Friday evening, just to make it very clear.
Yeah.
And then continuing Friday night into Saturday. So we were looking at, again, a pretty long duration storm. That's going to help things as well. But, 6 to 10, it's going to be a real challenge. If you have any plans Friday night, really reconsider adjusting that if it's at all possible.
So what does the evening count as? Is like 5 o'clock on or something like that, or 7 o'clock on? Does it matter?
I would say, we always like, I look at a 6 to 6 as a daytime, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the daytime. So late Friday, so sometime in the middle of rush hour getting underway. At least it's going to be light to start, really picking up an intensity probably late evening. So 10 p.m. Friday night into the day Saturday.
So what are the locations that are going to see the heaviest snowfall?
I think we are right in the middle of the worst.
Huh. Downtown St. Louis would be in the middle of it?
Yep. It is. It looks like everything is centered right around there.
What happens when you go a little bit north or south? Do they see different snowfall accumulations?
I think in general we're going to have a pretty good wide swath of 6 to 10 inches. There will be pockets that get to 10 or 12, 15 in and around the area. And then if you go, so maybe you have toward the border, Missouri-Iowa border, there we might get closer to a 3 to 6 inch amount.
Looking at pretty much the entire state at this point is going to be getting snow.
A pretty good swath. You have eastern Missouri and then into southern Illinois. We're looking at some pretty decent snowfall. That's where it looks like the highest impact of the storm will occur within the Central Plains.
Let's talk about some confidence levels. AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy joining us. So what's the confidence level that you have that we'll see over 6 inches?
I'm very confident. I would say a 90% chance that it was over 6 inches.
I don't like those odds.
I know, but you'd like to hear that we're, you know, if I sold you 50-50, then you're like, oh, well, then now I don't know what to do.
So you're saying the confidence level is so high that it's almost at this point, it looks like we're not going to avoid it.
I would, I'm very confident we are going to see a good snowfall and 6 inches or more, you know, at 90%.
All right. So is there going to be a time where it's coming down heavy, or is it just going to be consistent throughout?
The bulk of the storm is coming during the night Friday. It will linger for, you know, a long-duration storm. It will linger through the day Saturday and even into the evening hours. So it is going to, again, be a good 24 hours of some amount of snowfall.
See, this is what I'm going to have to wake up to, the sound of scraping pavement as people are out there scraping the snow away from their sidewalks and driveways Saturday morning.
Good exercise. Watch your heart attack levels.
Oh, okay. That's a nice tip. Do you know who Frankie McDonald is?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Nope.
I'm not offhand, anyway.
He's an online weather guy. He gets some popularity. He gives those warnings and alerts out there. You probably would recognize him if you saw him. You being a meteorologist, almost it's guaranteed. I'm sure someone's forwarded you some of his work in the past.
I usually hide from everybody else.
Okay, so you're watching the projected totals and you're watching everything changing on the computer screen. Do you anticipate there could be another change between now and Friday evening?
Again, my confidence level on this is pretty high where we stand. I do feel pretty good about the way things looked, even as I said, past Tuesday morning, looked good for a good snowstorm. And now, I mean, it continues to show its hand in a meaningful way.
Something crazy happen and we get more than 10 inches? I mean, could something change and then all of a sudden we're looking at even higher snowfall totals?
I would say the answer to that is yes. There are always risks for these storms to create some bright banding that will, you know, produce a locally heavier amount. Like I said, 12, 15 inches, not out of the question.
Not cool, man.
I'm trying.
Matt Rindy, okay, we'll watch this thing. And then after it's out of our way on Saturday, what happens after that?
It stays cold. It's January, right? Yeah. So we stay in the 30s.
Are we going to see any days over 40s in the next week?
Oh, you know, I looked earlier and I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, I wonder how long it stays, because really it's pretty consistent from now until the end of the weekend, mid-30s, so, right in that range.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. Tuesday, we have a high of 46.
Okay, so even if the snow's still around by the end of the week, there's a chance that some of it starts melting off by the early week.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, do we get some sun at least?
It looks that way. Yep, intervals of clouds and sun on Tuesday.
Nice.
Chance of rain on Wednesday even. There you go.
Chance of rain on top of that. Oh, that'll be great. Okay, so watch out for 6 to 10 inches, mostly Friday evening and through the overnight where it might be a little bit heavier. And watch out for the heart attack on Saturday morning when you're up and scraping the snow off.
That is correct.
All right, Matt Rindy from AccuWeather Meteorologist there. Thank you so much for joining us on KMOX.
You're welcome.
Cool. He was good. So I guess high confidence level from Matt Rindy. And also a high confidence level that you are not going to like what happens here, because there's no way to avoid it at this point. But maybe you're listening outside of the St. Louis region and, hey, it doesn't affect you. So good for you. Oh, good for you. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Got a couple more minutes here. And next hour, we're going to spend a lot more time talking about the updates from earlier today with President Trump, the meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, some more reaction to the wall and We're gonna do that. So we did that earlier. We're gonna do it again next hour. So if you've been waiting to hear that, but there's been a lot of politics stuff this last couple of days with the government shutdown. So just impossible to ignore it. So I wanted to get this space story out because I only got a little bit more time. I'm gonna be off tomorrow night with Brad Young filling in. So I'm sure you'll enjoy time with Brad. Treat him well. Be nice. Of course you will. And then on Friday, I'll be filling in Mark Reardon's program. So just a little bit of backwards week for me. So I still got to come in tomorrow. I'm going to record with some clients for the Business of Family Business. I don't know if you've heard that show. It's on Saturdays at 3 o'clock on KMOX. It's a really cool program. I interview family businesses across St. Louis. And what we do is we just talk about their story and some of the struggles and some of the successes and some of the things that go on and the dynamics of the family and how it plays with the business. Really cool program. If you've never seen it or never heard about it, you can listen Saturdays at 3. CMA Consulting is the sponsor for that program, and they are someone that works with family businesses, so they have some insights they put into it as well. Really cool. All right. Mysterious radio signals. This makes its way back into the headlines. BBC. I decided to take the BBC story on this. Astronomers have revealed details of mysterious signals emanating from distant galaxies picked up by a telescope in Canada. Among the 13 fast radio bursts called FRBs, some unusual repeat signaling coming on. So they're getting some consistent signals. And now I hear stories like this and I see these headlines, and you have to keep into consideration that these radio bursts are not all that exciting because there's no information in radio bursts. Essentially, the satellites are staring up into the sky and they catch a little fragment of something that is out of the ordinary. It could be anything. It could be anything. So there could be something out there that causes this. It's not aliens. So everyone says, oh, we found aliens out there. It is not. So let me give you a little demonstration of what these fast radio bursts are like. So when people think of these, they think, oh, that means we're getting static from another planet somewhere out there. And then they always think of kind of like radio static, you know, when you had the old, this is like radio static, you know? So you think in your mind, ooh, radio signals detected. Is this what they're picking up? Kind of like you're trying to tune in a transistor radio or you're just have a, just going through the stations. Well, these fast radio bursts last less than 5 milliseconds. 5 milliseconds, and let me give you an illustration. This is how fast 5 milliseconds goes. Did you hear that little click? That is the longest fast radio burst they found. 5 milliseconds. Here, I'm going to play it again. Listen very carefully. You hear that? It's just a click. It takes longer to snap your finger than what a fast radio burst is. So when you hear they found 13 radio bursts, they found 13 glitches that were that fast in their data that they were surveying when they were looking up in their satellites into the sky. And that's all they found, just something out of the ordinary that fast. And when I say that could be anything out there, it could be anything. So the telescope was up and running in Canada. Let's see, 4 100-meter-long semi-cylinder antennas that scan the entire northern sky each night. So far, scientists have detected about 60 altogether. They believe there could be as many as thousands every night in the sky. They just don't have enough satellites for that sort of thing. So don't buy too much into it. When you hear these headlines and you see them pop up on social media and people try to immediately say, well, there you go, we found aliens. Not really. When in your mind you think something like this, but really it's just this. That's it. And by the way, that's 5 milliseconds. That is on the high end. That's about as the longest one they've ever found. It could actually be a lot shorter than that. You know what's really helped those scans is that they have algorithms and artificial intelligence scanning the data that these satellites are pulling, and then they can detect them because things that are that small very easily go undetected. Very, very easily go undetected. Good old space stories love stuff like that. Oh, and I didn't even play the George Nori theme song. Oh, I should have played Coast to Coast. Nah, too late now. Tell me how lousy it is. You ever have a terrible roommate? You have a roommate that would ever do something like this?
The winning ticket was actually worth $10.
Let me tell. So keep. So this is what happened. A man bought a ticket, a $30 scratch ticket. Crazy. Yeah, $30 for a scratcher. But he ended up winning a lot of money off that scratcher. His luck ran out after he told his roommate about his good fortune. This is why you never tell anyone if you win the lottery.
The winning ticket was actually worth $10 million.
We have our victim going into the store, which is date and time stamped, of him actually buying the lottery ticket.
Police say they also have video of the suspect, the victim's roommate, going into the store hours later to buy a ticket. After a joint investigation with lottery officials, he was arrested when he visited the state lottery office to cash in.
Oh, just waiting for him there. He thought he was just going to go in, take his money and be gone, disappear, move to Mexico or something like that and live the high life. Not so much. What a plot this guy had. He must have really thought this out. So a guy gets a $30 scratcher, wins $10 million, gets so excited he has to tell someone. He tells his roommate, oh, I can trust my roommate, right? No, you can't. You can't trust anyone. You go and just do this thing and don't tell a single living soul. As difficult as it is. I guess if you had a wife, you can tell your wife. Don't tell the kids. Tell the wife, but not the kids. Well, no, I take that back. There's probably some husbands out there thinking, no, I don't even think I can tell my wife. She wouldn't be able to get off of Facebook fast enough to tell the entire world she'd be so excited. So he tells his roommate, hey, I got a scratcher. I won $10 million. And I have it in my room. So apparently he leaves the ticket alone with the roommate. The roommate gets the bright idea. I'm just going to run up to the store. I'll buy the exact same ticket and I'll replace the losing one with the winning one. He'll never know. He'll just think he read it wrong. He'll, for the rest of his life, think he was so dumb. And then I'll just, you know, disappear and see you later. I'll take the $10 million. Well, obviously they investigate these things when you have that much money tied into the scratching ticket. I can't believe there's scratchers that have $10 million payoffs. You know, the whole scenario, a lot of bosses, do they prohibit you from doing a lottery pool in this at work? I know a lot of bosses don't like the idea of everyone quitting at once. Don't you dare quit at once. Well, maybe this guy was a government worker. Wouldn't that have been a great story? Maybe the guy that was sitting waiting for to get his paycheck gets a $30 scratcher. That'd be a terrible way to start spending money if you're out of the money from the government and you don't know if you're going to get your next paycheck or not. But hey, it paid off for that guy. What a great story too. This guy goes to jail. You know, if this roommate would have just played his cards right, I'm sure he could have got something nice. You know, the guy wins $10 million. Oh man, be nice to your roommate. Why don't you hook up a friend here? Can't you just be nice to me? You know, if you just played your cards right, he probably would have done something nice to you, but not anymore. Now you're going to jail. Good luck with that. Lots of talk about the wall. Oh, man. So what's going to happen next with this thing? President Trump, if you heard the story from earlier today, said bye-bye to the negotiations after there was signs that there was no way they would fund a southern border wall. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi gave a little press conference afterwards. President Trump also going hard on reporters. I'll tell you what, there was one clip of President Trump with Jonathan Carl, and man, this pretty much illustrates it right here. Take a listen to this.
So why not sign the other bills, though, so some of these workers can get paid, the government
can get
paid? You
think I should do that?
No,
do you think I should do that, John?
Well, I mean, it's not for me to say.
I watch your one-sided reporting. Do you think I should do that? Hey, John, no, seriously, John, do you think I should just sign?
Well, the argument
is... Tell me.
John, do
you think I should just sign?
I'm saying that if you sign that, these workers can start getting paid. The government can start...
So you would do that. If you were in my position, you'd do that.
I'm not in your position. I'm asking you if that's something you...
I'm asking you, would you do that if you were in my position? Because if you would do that, you should never be in this position. Because you'd never get anything done. Goodbye, everybody.
Whoa, you would never get anything done. Now, that's the clip of the day right there. All right, we're going to talk the update to the government shutdown next on Overnight America KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.